everybody, and welcome to Heartbeat. I read a scripture actually a week ago or so, and it really struck me. It made me sit up. It opened my eyes a bit more to who Jesus is, what he did for us. So I'm going to share this scripture and then I'm going to unpack it a little bit. And I pray that you hear something here that inspires you to follow Jesus more, to be like Jesus. You know, we call ourselves Christians, Christ followers. Well, therefore, do we not need to look at who Christ was, is, what he does, his attributes, his character, what he displays to us, who even God the Father is like, how he said, you know, I'm going to the Father so I can send you the Holy Spirit, who will bring you wisdom and more guidance and remind you of what's gone in the past, but also point you to, you know, life for you in the future. You know, the three-in-one God that we have that is so encompassing. And I don't know about you, but every day I desire to know God more. And if I don't, God shows me things that I go, oh, I need to remind myself. I do have this desire within me, but sometimes the humdrum of life can make me forget or make me a little bit less enthusiastic. But then I read something like this passage of scripture. And it's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. What a passage of scripture. I first read the first part and it says, there's a cloud of witnesses. What are these cloud of witnesses? Isn't it anybody who's gone before us, who's followed Christ? They witness to us in their lives. Now we see it very much in the New Testament of those who followed Christ. If we go to the Old Testament, because Christ had not yet come, the Old Testament people who followed God to the best of their ability, they now are the witnesses. They are the veterans. What do you mean by veterans? A veteran is a person with experience in a given field. You know, we often hear about war veterans. They've had an experience, not in a very nice field, but they've had experience in it. And so they're called veterans, or war veterans, because of them have been to war. But are not all who have gone before us veterans in some way or form in their field? And I guess the field I'm talking about right now is being a Christ follower. So if we can look to what others have experienced, to what others have written, to what others have gone through, just like us, they're as human as us, they're like us, we're like them, we can learn from their wisdom, from their faults and failings, from where they went wrong, from where they went right, to help us to follow Christ, to encourage us to follow Christ better and more. So we have a group of witnesses that have gone before us. And as much as we try, we can try and set aside sin. Sin is there. You know, it's only God who can banish the sin from our lives. It's only God who reveals to us the sin in our life, how he needs to, with his grace, come and get rid of it, come and reduce it. You know, I mean, he can totally get rid of it, but he wants us to work with him. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the perfecter of all things. But this sin, we've got to recognize that it can tangle us, entangle us, meaning bind us up. It can ambush us, encircle us, so that we want to quit, so that we give up hope, so that we don't follow Christ anymore, so that we live lives not following Christ, but doing our own thing. Because, you know, the enemy, Satan, hates God so much. He doesn't actually care about us. But he hates God so much, he wants all of God's followers to reject God. His hatred is that deep. He doesn't care about us one iota. He wants us destroyed, because then he feels like he's then destroying God. But God is greater. God is far more victorious. God has already won the battle. So we just have to recognize we have sin and try and put it aside. Keep giving it to the Lord. Keep asking God to help us and overcome all of, you know, our faults and failings, our sin. But the supreme model that we look to is Jesus. We need to study him. He's the one that's got all the solutions. He's the perfecter. He's already perfect himself, in himself, of himself. So if we want to attain perfection and be better at stuff, we need to look to him. He's the model we look at. He's the author, meaning he actually wrote it. He's created it. He's done it all. He's the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus pioneered the path of faith that Christians should follow. He perfected the way. The early church was called the little way, or the way. You know, it's the way to go, the way to live, the way to be, the way to speak, the way to follow. Jesus perfected the way because, one, he is holy and perfect. He actually, too, reached the end. He was successful. He completed the task he was sent to do on the earth. He was to live with us, to teach us, to die for us, and then to rise again. And he did all those things, plus more, of course. But he was successful in doing what God asked him to do, in the purpose he was placed on the earth for. So if we want to know what is our purpose, what should we do, how should we complete our tasks, we look to Jesus. He will guide us and show us through the Holy Spirit, given to us by the Father and the Son. You know, Jesus kept his eyes on the joy set before him. He didn't look at the shame of being on the cross. He didn't look at the pain and the agony. He didn't look at, you know, the annihilation that many did to him. They disavowed him. Peter even did. But Peter came and said, "Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry." Jesus, though, set himself the joy. And what is that joy? The joy is us. He set us before him, saying, "I'm going to the cross because I need to reach Paul. I need to reach Stephen. I need to reach Claire. I need to reach Anne." Put your name in there. I'm doing this because of the joy that I can have a relationship with them again, that the God the Father can have a relationship once again, an intimate relationship with all my people, all my children. The joy set before him. And also, though, because when he came down to earth, he laid down his crown. He humbled himself. He took on the body of a human. But he was human and divine. And part of the joy was he knew that once he'd done this and he'd reached us once again to become children of the living God, he made it accessible to us to once again have eternal life. He then was picking back up his crown and sitting beside the right hand of his Father. This joy set before him, our salvation, this eternity life for us, was his final victory and is our final victory. No matter what happens on this earth, we have that final victory available to us. When you say no matter what, of course God wants us to follow him, to live a life of love, loving him and loving others. I'm talking about if circumstances, you know, you don't get the job that you desire. You're not living in good circumstances sometimes. Life just seems terrible. Know that you have the final victory, that you have the joy set before you, eternity with our God, forever and ever and ever, and no one can take that away from you. No one can snatch it out of your hands. The enemy may try, but stay with Jesus and no one can snatch you out of his hands. You know, in verse 3, I love it. It says, consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, the focus, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to go through this agony because I want to be, Jesus says, I want to be able to make sure that I tell the world, I tell my children, don't be weary, don't lose heart. I have overcome the world. I have given you that gift back again. I have given you eternal life. What a gift. What, you know, denying of God's self, his Son, he did for us. Because God the Father sent his Son. His Son followed through on what God the Father wanted. And he has given us this precious, precious gift of eternity with him. So don't lose heart. Endure hardship. We are being trained to be sons and daughters of the living God. We have been given this inheritance. And I know it can be really tough sometimes. I don't know all your situation. You don't know fully mine. But I've had too many days walk with my head held high, even though I didn't feel like walking. I looked around me and the situations were terrible. People were terrible to me in my workplaces. People, you know, abused you verbally. People did stuff behind your back. But I know that I have been asked to walk in the steps of Jesus, to forgive, to love your enemy. Easy to love the neighbor that loves you, but what about the neighbor that doesn't? Even though it is hard, it is only God who has graced me with the ability and strength to keep walking some days. But no, these hardships are only for a time. In heaven, God wipes away every tear. There's no tears anymore. And he gathers us into his loving arms, into himself. But you know that the model of Jesus is Jesus leaned on the Father. He didn't do it alone. He leaned on the Father and the Spirit to give him strength and courage. There's a cross called the Father's cross. And on it, there is Jesus on the cross. But if you look past that, there's a dove above Jesus, giving him strength and courage and fortitude. And because all the gifts of the Holy Spirit he gave Jesus, because they're one and the same. And then on the outspread arms of Jesus, there is the hands of God behind, holding his arms up. It's beautiful. Jesus didn't do it alone. He had the three-in-one with him. Don't do it alone yourself. Jesus never lost sight of where he was going. He saw the problems. He saw the abuse from the Pharisees. He knew what people thought. He saw the crowds leave in thousands at times when he was sharing truth to people. How did you think he felt? But he looked to what God had placed before him, and he looked past, think about it, he looked past his circumstances, and he looked to what God had set before him and the joy that he could see on the other side. We know the joy we can see on the other side of this life. Keep looking to Jesus. He is our model and example. He knew what he was doing, Jesus. Remember, all his life as he grew older, he would share with his disciples, I have to go to Jerusalem. In 3 days, you know, the temple will be torn down but rebuilt. He knew. He knew. Maybe he didn't fully know the agony of it all, but he did. Maybe not as a human, because he hadn't humanly experienced that yet, but in the divine he knew. He was traumatized. He was destitute. He felt abandoned. He cried out to his God, my God, my God, why have you abandoned me? Because the human part of him, fully human, felt that. But the full part of him that was fully divine knew God had not abandoned him. He was where he was for a purpose. He would put up anything along the way. He would put up the shame, put up with the shame. He would put up with carrying the cross. He would put up the hostility that was toward him for so long. When you find yourselves lagging in your faith, go over and over the story of Jesus and the hope that he is pointing us to, that he has given us. And take a deep breath. Ask the grace of God to give you the strength and courage to walk and take the next step. And to run as best as you can run. I don't care if it's stumbling and falling and getting up again. To run to the end prize. Push through, persevere. It is all worth it. But remember, don't do it alone. Do it with Jesus. Because he, most of the time, is carrying you. You're not even walking in your own steps. He's carrying you to the finish line. Thanks for listening.